In the stories of Avram's life, there are a number of themes and even stories that seem very similar to stories already told to us earlier in his life. Maybe the best example of this is the story of Avram's wife being taken by a foreign king. In last week's parasha, Parashat Lechacha, we read about Paro in Mitzrayim taking Sarah from Avram, trying to take her as his own wife. In this week's parasha, we read about a very similar event. Avimelech, the Melech of the Plushtim, Melech Gerar, is the one who takes Sarah from Avraham. And the obvious question is why the Torah tells us the same or similar story a second time. Well, one could say, because it happened the second time. But we know that the Torah doesn't tell us everything that happened in Avraham's life. It tells us the things we're meant to learn from. So the question we need to ask is, what are we meant to learn from this second story of the taking of Avraham's life that we didn't see in the first? And I believe there are a number of points that are important, but I want to focus on one. What I believe is the most salient point in the second story versus the first. In the first story, Paro comes to Avram and says, how can you do this? Take my wife, etc. He turns it to him. We don't find the discussion that we find by Avimelech. If you look in this week's parasha, Avimelech comes to Avram. Vayomer Avimelech le'Avram, Ma asita lanu, ma chatati lach, ki eveta alai v'al manlachti chata'a gdola, ma'asim asher lo yasu asita imadi. What did we do to you to cause you to do this to us? You did things that just aren't done, that are unfair. What's interesting is that the next pasuk, pasuk yud, is Avimelech speaking again. Vayom Avimelech l'Avram, ma ra'ita ki asita et hadavar hazeh. And if there's a new amira, it's because Avimelech was finished speaking the first time in pasuk tet. But he had to speak again because Avram didn't respond. The first time when Avimelech challenged, almost attacked Avram, said, hey, what is this? Avram didn't respond. Avimelech's second question is sharper. It's not, how could you do this? But it's, ma ra'ita ki asita et hadavar hazeh. Avimelech realizes that if Avram did this, it's because he saw something. And beyond just attacking him, Avimelech wants to understand, why did you see me as the kind of person that you couldn't tell me she was your wife? The Mefarshim explained on a deeper level that Avimelech was saying to Avram, I understand when you went to Egypt, the Egyptian people were known to be lewd. We understand why you would have to hide the identity of your wife, but the Plishtim, the Palestinians, we are moral, ethical people. We are people who respect values. How could you be choshish me? This understanding of the question makes the answer all the more interesting. Avram responds, Vayomer Avram, Ki amarti rak ein yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh v'haraguni al dvarishti. Avram's response, part of the greatness of Avram is taking advantage of opportunities to teach moral lessons. I saw that this is a place without yirat Elokim, without a morality rooted in the fear of heaven. And therefore I was afraid. And the Mefarshim explained, it pays to look in the Netziv, in the Hamik Dover, Malbum, the Grizz. They explained that what Avram was saying was, it's true that you're a culture that has morality to it, but it's a morality that's not based on the fear of God, on Yirat Elokim. And when a morality is not based on the fear of God, it's a morality that's unreliable. The Grizz points out that Avram was afraid that they would kill him to take his wife. What kind of society respects husband-wife relationship? They won't just take the woman, but would kill together. The Netziv talks about how it's unreliable because when people's morality isn't rooted in Yirat Elokim, sometimes their Yetzer can push them to make these mistakes. And obviously this is a very big lesson for us in founding our morality. Rav Aharon Wasserman spoke to the rabbinical seminary in Berlin in the 1930s. Speech appears in Kovetz Ma'amorim, and he says there, on this pasuk, Rak ein yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh. You may have morality, you may have everything. Rak ein yirat Elokim. The only thing missing is yirat Elokim. And he connects this to the pasuk at the end of Sefer Kohelet. Sof davar hakol nishma et Elokim yira ve'et mitzvotav shemor ki zeh kol adam. And Rav Aharon says, if you had a wild animal, a lion, inside your house, you wouldn't let him roam free. You would lock him up. Human beings are much more dangerous than lions. They have the most potential to build and destroy. The one thing that protects us from each other the one thing that holds people back from damaging each other is Yirat Elokim. And he says, in fact, if you lack Yirat Elokim, to a large extent you lack the defining feature of being a person, a refined person. Et Elokim Yiravet Mitzvotav Shemor Ki Zeh Kol HaAdam. Without Yirat Elokim, a person technically may be a homo sapien, but their conduct can be the same as animals. And he writes there that without Yirat Elokim, even cultures that are refined and moral and ethical, and clearly he's talking about Germany, have the potential to kill millions. And of course, Rav Elchanan was a victim of the culture he was criticizing short time later. The lesson for us from these events, from the Torah and recent times, on a personal level, is to ensure that our values, our tzedakah u'mishpat, aren't based on the culture around us that may often resonate it, but they're based on our sense of Yirat Elokim that requires it. And if so, we have values for the right reasons and in the right balance, and Yemir Tzashem will live by them. Shabbat Shalom.